Hello and welcome to Reliance's podcast. We hope that the message encourages your heart today. If you'd like to join us in person, we meet weekly on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11 o'clock a.m. And if you want to find out more about Reliance, come check us out online.
We started a series last week called In Him, and kind of rolling out of Easter and rolling out of the Holy Week, we'd been talking about the gospel, and now what we see from the gospel is that everything about Jesus is now that we're found in him. You'll find it all through scripture, in him, in him, in him. It's all over the place. And so what does it look like to be in him, or for him to be in us? And so what we talked about last week, if you missed, you can check that out on our podcast, but we talked about after Jesus's death and resurrection, after those two moments, maybe the greatest thing that we were awaiting after his ascension, seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus was longing for this day of going, oh, that I could go and be with the Father, because when I go and I sit at my rightful place at the right hand of the Father, he's going to release the Holy Spirit. And so Pentecost, we call that Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. This was the longing of Jesus' heart, that we would know redemption through his blood and that we would know the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That we would know the work of the cross and the power of the resurrection through the Holy Spirit. It's a life change. And so we read about 50 days later, there was a promise of the Holy Spirit that was going to be poured out. Jesus is going to give this indication throughout his time with his disciples in John 14, 17. Just kind of recapping this for a moment. He says, he is in the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But look what he says. But you. Everybody say, but you. That means you believers, you people are going to come in and find Christ. You people who are going to say, I surrender my life and the invitation to come into the salvation of Jesus. But you people are not like the people who don't know him yet. You will know him because he lives with you now. And what does he say? And later will be. Okay, just making sure you guys are awake. Later he will be in you. He will be in you. So there was this coming of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit wouldn't just be among us, but the Holy Spirit would be in us. That's good news. Somebody say amen. For you Rudy fans, any Rudy fans out there? You remember how Rudy, he had the drive, but he just couldn't make it? You know what I'm talking about? Like, he just got batted around on the football field. Rudy, man, just all the heart in the world, but he didn't have the power within him to do much on the field. The way I look at this is like, we're all a little bit of Rudy, okay? But then with Chris Jones from the Chief times 10 that comes in us. And it's just like, we're trucking people. Amen? Amen. All right, somebody's going to get excited about that. This is how I see it. It's like we were trying in our own efforts. We were struggling. We were striving. And then the power of God comes in us. And everything begins to change. And so this would change everything. Like, this moment in history would change everything. And now the God of the universe would not dwell in temples. He would not dwell in tabernacles. He would dwell in our hearts. And this is why there's a war for your heart. This is why you're distracted. This is why I'm distracted. Because the enemy constantly wants us to know, or to not know, that the power of God dwells in our hearts. And so God's going to come in and make his home within us, and he's going to restore us back in that moment to that original plan. Did you guys know the Garden of Eden was a good plan? His original plan was a good plan? He says it over and over, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And so that curse of the garden, when we sinned, and, you know, through Adam and Eve, they took the fruit, they ate it, their eyes were open to that self-awareness. God is restoring the order of going, no, no longer is it self-awareness, but we're back on spirit awareness. We see him rightly. We see him the way that we were supposed to see him. So he's restoring the garden awareness again. This garden awareness where Adam and Eve, they lived in God. He fully sustained them by the tree of life. They moved in God. They walked with him in the cool of the morning. They had their being in God. They didn't have the awareness of themselves. They only had the awareness of God. And everything that God said was good. And so they understood that. This is what God is changing when he brings the Spirit of God back in us again. He's changing the way that we live, the way that we move. He's changing the way that we are. And this is kind of where we've catapulted from in this series, In Him. In Acts 17, Paul says these words in verse 26, "And God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place." Here's what he's saying. God is in charge of all things. You're here because this is where God puts you at. You're here because this is where God puts you at. Okay? You're not somewhere else. God determined their allotted periods. You're here in this time because God wanted you to live in 2024. He's got a plan for your life. He cares deeply for you. We're not just blowing through by mere circumstance. God put you here in this allotted time, in this allotted space, for his allotted reasons. Somebody say amen. Okay, so in the boundaries of their dwelling place, look at verse 27, Acts 17, 27. "That they," that's us, "that they should seek God." So he puts you here in this time, in this space, that they should seek God. And look what he says, "and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him." Anybody feel like that's what it's like when you're trying to find God? God, I know you're here. I do, I know it. Right? This is our life. We're feeling our way through life going, I know you're here. In all this mess and all this craziness and all this distraction and all this destruction, I know you're here. And then there's moments where you feel his presence. There's those moments where you see what he's done in your life. There's those moments where you're like, I saw the Lord. I saw him in this situation, in that situation. And so he's saying that we perhaps would feel our way toward him and find him. And then he says these words, "Yet he is actually not far from each of us." He's not far from each of us. In fact, when we call upon the name of the Lord, he's there. And then he says for these words, "For in him," everybody say in him, "we live, move, and have our being." In him we live and we move and we have our being. And this was how they operated in the Garden of Eden. In him they lived, in him they moved, and in him they had their being. And so I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit moves us. Specifically today, last week we talked about in him we live. So we talked about how we live through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought life to us. And this is the engagement of the Holy Spirit in our life. I want to talk about in him we move today. I want to talk about how we move. It's interesting. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man." I love this. No prophecy, all the scriptures that prophesied was never produced by the will of man. You need to know that so that when you hear all this false teaching out there that says things like this, hey, this was just written by man. This book right here, this Bible was just written by man, so you can't trust it. Don't listen to that nonsense. All prophecy, listen, all prophecy was, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. In other words, we believe that the Word of God is the Word of God because it was Spirit-led, Spirit-breathed. Is there an amen to that in this house? This is important because otherwise it'll blow you off. It'll blow you off course. When you start to go, ah, some of it's good, some of it's not, it will blow you off course. So no prophecy, here I go, third time reading this. "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along." Some translations say, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now that word moved is translated to be driven. To be driven. And it's implied, if you look at kind of what that looks like, it's implied like a ship, when the ship sets sail and it throws up its sails, that all of a sudden the strong wind is actually blowing it. The ship is doing nothing. The wind is actually moving it. And so when it says that in him we move, it's saying my life is nothing without him. The way in which I move is because his spirit blows me along. Anybody feel that way in their life? Amen. Okay. And so what is he moving us to? What is he moving us to? Just two things and we'll jump into this a little bit more. He's moving us to be more and more like Jesus. This is important for us to know. We already know that the goal of the Holy Spirit's work is to make us look more and more like Jesus. We call this process the process of sanctification. The process of sanctification means that each and every day I'm growing to look more and more like Jesus. I'm growing to look more. My old life is looking less and less and less like I used to live because I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I'm looking less and less like my old life, and I'm growing more and more and more into his life because I'm allowing and I've received the Holy Spirit, and he's blowing me along in the life of Christ. Now listen, and so we call this process sanctification. He's bringing us in to his life. And so Colossians 2:11 says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised. Everybody know what circumcision is? Anybody want to stand up and give? Okay. There's a cutting away. We'll just call it that. In the nether regions. But there's a cutting away, right? So there's a cutting away. He says, when you came to Christ, he's not talking about a physical circumcision. He's talking about a spiritual circumcision of your heart. So when you came to Christ, your heart was circumcised. There was a cutting away. But not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. So Holy Spirit comes in, and I'm looking less and less like Aaron, because less and less like Aaron means I'm looking less and less and less like my sinful nature. Amen? And I didn't do that. He did that. This isn't my striving. This is my allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work that he's going to do. So that's, he comes in to do that. That's what it looks like to be moved. One, to look more and more like Jesus. And two, to look more and more like Jesus means that he's empowering us to be the witness to Jesus. So this isn't just for me, it's for everybody. And so that empowering is Acts 1:8 when he says that the Holy Spirit empowers us to be a witness for Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now what stops us from being empowered? Everybody say fear. Fear. Fear stops us from being empowered. This is why the Holy Spirit comes in and does what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. For God did not give you a spirit, little s, of timidity or a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of what? Power and love and sound mind or self-discipline, right? Whatever translation you're in. This is the spirit that he's given to us. We've got power, and we come with power in love because love can change a heart. Amen? And I've got self-discipline, or I've got a sound mind. I don't need to run back to all the garbage and lies that I've believed in my old life. Are we good? So we said last week, this is why there's no returning then to your old life. This is why after Easter, everybody's like, oh, that was awesome. What a celebration. I'll see you next Christmas, right? Why? Why do we go back to our old life after Easter or Christmas? Why do we go back to our old life and think, I don't need it until those two big events come? It's ridiculous. But we have a mentality that after the resurrection and we do the whole thing on Easter, I'm gonna go back to my old life. And so we saw last week, we talked about it, Jesus is like, no. There's never a going back to your old life. In fact, he's going to tell us over and over, it's actually better, Jesus says, that I go, or as we said last week, he says, it's to your advantage that I go so that the Holy Spirit will come. You'll never be normal again. Say, I'm not normal. And your neighbor says, amen to that. I saw you. And here's why. Because Jesus knew what was coming. It's to your advantage because Jesus knew it was coming. John 7:38, Jesus is going to give us a little indication of this. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said. So he's talking to a crowd, right? He's at a festival of, I think, booths at this one, but for fruits. But he's at this festival. People are gathered around, and he says these words, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or her heart, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. How many of you guys believe in him? For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus knows what's coming. And he's going, the Spirit of God has not come yet, like in Pentecost, has not fallen on all flesh, right? The Spirit of God has not come. So Jesus knows, it's going to be better when I go. And when I do, the Spirit's going to come on you. It's going to be to your advantage because out of you is going to flow rivers of living water. That's what's going to come out of you. So we've got to do some work on that then. Amen? Is that what's coming out of you? I've been so heavy on this verse this whole week. Man, it's just, I don't know, God's just been stirring it in my heart that this refreshment everywhere that Jesus went, there was refreshment. Amen? Like, he would go down a street, people were being refreshed. Some of that was through healing. Some of that was just joy coming on people. Some of that was people that were discouraged being encouraged. But everywhere that Jesus went, outside of the religious elite, there was refreshment that was coming on people. And so I'm reading this and going, Lord, everywhere you went, there was refreshment. So if my life is supposed to imitate the life of Christ, and you did not move without the Holy Spirit, but you were dependent upon the Holy Spirit, why in the world am I trying to do life without the Holy Spirit? Let me show you this. The Holy Spirit, from the very beginning, was intimately connected to Jesus through his whole life. I'm going to rattle this off. An angel comes to Mary before her, before Jesus was even in the womb, and it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist, and all of a sudden, as he's being baptized, a voice in the heavens says, this is my son, whom I love, and what descends upon him? A dove of the Holy Spirit. It's like a dove. Scripture says it was like a dove. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. Then it says in Matthew 4, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a season of testing. Then it says in Luke 4, Jesus comes out of the wilderness full of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. Then it says Jesus' first sermon is he goes into the temple and he grabs the scroll of Isaiah and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Then after his first sermon, then he goes throughout the rest of his time teaching about the kingdom of God and doing things through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then in the book of Acts, Peter's going to say these words, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power when he went about doing all of the things that he did. When skeptical religious leaders came and said, how are you casting out demons? Jesus says, if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In his death, Jesus offered himself up as an atoning sacrifice. Hebrews 9:14 says, through his, everybody say Spirit. Paul tells us that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus, and after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus comes and he breathes onto his disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit in John 20:22. Then following Jesus, his ascension and Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out on the church. Do you guys see the rhythm of Scripture is, why do we think we can do this without the Holy Spirit? And I know I harped on this last week, and so I told myself I wasn't going to harp on it this week, but I lied to myself. We have tried to do the good little Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop. I guess I was trying to offend. That's not the way to do it, because you'll live your life. There's not rivers of water, rivers of living water coming out of you, of refreshment. You'll live your life discouraged, constantly stomping your foot because Jesus isn't good enough. When you try to do it without him, when you try to do it without the Spirit of God in your life, it was never intended to be that way, okay? All right, I'm done harping on that. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that the Holy Spirit was everywhere. We said it. Jesus went, wherever Jesus went and people were there, refreshment came over them. Now just going to rattle off ones that we always love to read here. John 4:34, Jesus was given the Holy Spirit without limit. That's what he says. He was given the Holy Spirit without measure. And if Jesus lives in us and the fullness of God lives in him, what do we have? The Holy Spirit without measure. Listen, this is a big deal. If we think if we read that Jesus had the Holy Spirit to do everything that he had, and somehow we can do this Christian life better than Jesus without the Holy Spirit, we got some pride issues. Amen? I hear response. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. John 14:23. Listen to what he says. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. So the fullness of God, who is pleased to live in Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, is pleased to come and make their home inside of you. Okay, Now, we've been talking about refreshment. Now, all of a sudden, we see the fulfillment in Old Testament. That's why we always say, go back and read the Old Testament. We've been harping on that lately, too. Go back and read the Old Testament. Now, you see the fulfillment in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. Ezekiel prophesies this from the Lord. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your... Okay, this is it. I'm gonna cleanse you from impurities, your iniquities, your sin, all that stuff. But I'm also gonna give you a heart that doesn't want other idols, doesn't want other lovers, doesn't want to chase other things. And so when my heart and my confession this morning, I was fractured, my heart's run 1,000 directions. I was thinking about everything going on in my life. My heart was divided. So how do I get my heart back again? I have to begin to say, Holy Spirit, take over again. You have my heart. Set my heart back on you again. He says in verse 26, I will give you a new heart. Thank you, Jesus. And I will put a new spirit in you. This is small. He's like, I'm going to give you a new spirit. Why? Because your spirit's going to make it sound like you don't deserve any of this. I'm going to deal away with that. I'm going to give you a new heart and new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my, now it's capital S, Holy Spirit. I will put my Holy Spirit in you, and what's he say? Oh my gosh, in him we live, we move. He's fulfilling what he said he was going to do. Now he says, I'm going to put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful by my to follow my laws or to keep my laws. And so now it's not you and I striving to do it. It's you and I surrendering to do it. Right? He says it. The Holy Spirit's going to come in us. He's going to move you to actually love the Lord. He's going to move you to go, I want to do what he says for me to do. Now, read the rest. This is your homework. Read the rest, Ezekiel 36. Read the rest of it. Now what's going to happen is when he says the Holy Spirit comes upon you, if you read the rest of it, it says, the land which used to be in a famine and desolate now starts to become a flourishing garden again. What do we say at the beginning? He's restoring the what? He's restoring the garden. He's bringing it back. That land that used to be in famine and desolate is now like a flourishing garden, cultivated, and fruit is being produced. He's restoring what he called good at the first time. I'm telling you, this is his heart. He didn't screw it up. I screwed it up. He didn't screw it up. Now he's like, hey, even though you screwed it up, I'm going to put my spirit in you. We're going to reorder this thing again. Every day. Stinking day. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 John 2:6. By this we may know that we are in him. Everybody say in him. Amen. Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. Jesus walked everywhere and refreshment came upon people. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Refreshment comes upon all people. John 17:17. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Are we getting this? Rivers of living water flowed from Jesus. He's in us from the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Rivers of living water flow from who? Jesus in us. This is really going to be much more of a dialogue today, all right? We're gonna teach each other's hearts. Out of the overflow of his heart, rivers of living water. I think it's in indicative that we understand those first words that he says, out of. Somebody say out of. It's one thing to have something flow into you, but if it flows into you and becomes stagnant, it's not fun. And we can have a river that flows into something that's been dammed up, right? That's been dammed up, and all of a sudden we feel stagnant. But when you open that floodgate and the river flows in and then the river flows out, it actually brings refreshment to the whole place. This is important to note. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. I gotta be honest with you. Most of us came to Christ because somebody was carrying refreshment with them. Like, in other words, somebody was carrying the refreshment of Jesus, and that's how you came to Christ. Most people didn't just get knocked out of their bed. Maybe you did. Amen to that. You were living in sin. You'd never heard of who Jesus was. Nobody had ever declared the gospel to you. And then one night, just in your sin, God just goes, boom, you fell out of bed, and you're like, I'm saved. It doesn't happen all the time that way, though. That's why it says, how beautiful are those who bring the good news. Somewhere along the line, for most people in here, your journey started with somebody brought a word of refreshment, his name was Jesus, and you grabbed hold of that. Amen? And I got to share a story of why this is important. Because out of somebody was those refreshing living waters that were flowing from them. And that's how you got captivated by Christ. Now, here's an interesting thing. Ty Armstrong, I think I saw you. You in here? Ty, stand up. Everybody needs a Ty Armstrong in their life. I just want to say this out. Ty is one of those guys, he just exudes joy. So he was at the gym. He was telling us this story. He was at the gym, this big yoked guy. I mean, big bodybuilder guy. Ty's like, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to share Jesus with him. So he goes over, and Ty starts this conversation, and this guy begins to just unleash into Ty. I mean, telling him all the reasons he's wrong, how the Bible's fallible, just hammers down on him. And Ty, if you know Ty, he's always smiling. Even while he's taking a shellacking, he's like... And by the time the guy was done, the guy goes, you know what? The way you were able to handle that, not many men could do that. I got respect for you. And all of a sudden, something began to happen. That refreshment, while taking a shellacking, that refreshment started to come out. Now that guy and Ty have a relationship at the gym where they start to talk each day. And Ty, every day, he says, I'm waiting for that moment. I always insert the Lord in there. And sometimes he gives me an eye roll. Sometimes he's like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. But there's going to be a day where that man comes in with dry and parched land, and a river of living water is going to hit him because of Ty. It's what Peter had on him, right? In the Holy Spirit, when they're walking, silver and gold have I none. I can't give you worldly things, but what I can give you is what? In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. I'm going to refresh your soul with the Spirit of God. Amen. What happens when a fountain is filled to overflowing is that first the fountain is satisfied. That fountain is satisfied. It's refreshed. That fountain that just keeps filling up, it's refreshed and it's replenished. But that fountain also, as it overflows, it refreshes and it replenishes others as well. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in our life. He brings us the ultimate satisfaction of who God is. But more than that, he also spills out so that others can know that same truth and reality. And this is why we are carriers of the Holy Spirit and rivers of living water flow from us. I know we've done this 1,000 times, but I know there's some new people in here. So this is how we like to say it here, okay? If this is your life, and you, Jesus comes in and you're filled up and you're like, I'm good. Is there anything flowing out of this cup right now? No. So what happens is even though you're good, like truly, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. No one comes to the Father, but him who's been drawn. No one can say yes to the Lord, but without the Holy Spirit, you've got Jesus in you. But eventually what happens to the Christian life is this: I'm filled up, but I've become stagnant. Come on, church. Anybody felt stagnant in your life with Christ? And so what happens is we continue to go to the well of the Holy Spirit. Fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up. This is what they said. Increase our faith. Fill me up. Just, it was always an increase. Always in, not that he's not there. It's the revelation in your heart of saying, I know you're in there. Unlock my heart to everything that you have. Unlock my mind to everything that you have. Unlock my comfortability levels. I'm going to say that one again. Unlock my comfortability levels. And here's what begins to happen is you start to flow out. And that stuff that was inside of you that's stagnant is now flowing out of you. Rivers of living water are coming out of you. Amen? This is what it looks like now. Now, if you're standing underneath that, are you affected by that? Yes. Do you know what that's like? Anybody been to Great Wolf Lodge and the bucket pours down upon you? And you get crushed? Anybody ever get crushed? It's awesome. And you're like, that was terrible and yet exciting. And you do it again. And then you put your 3-year-olds, you crazy people. Let's watch them get crushed. Anyways. This is what it's like. He's pouring into our life. And all of a sudden that stagnancy begins to come out. Why? Because his word didn't say rivers of living water will come into you. It says out of you will come rivers of living water. Okay. One more thing. So how do we move by the Holy Spirit? Let me do this actually, just for time's sake, because I want to give us some time here at the end. Let me give you some reminders. As I yield to the Holy Spirit, he flows from within me like rivers of living water to transform me and impact my world, okay? So this isn't, like, this isn't just about you. If we are ministers of reconciliation, it's not just about me. There is a lost and broken world that needs to know the love of the Father, amen? Number two, he trains me to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. We're gonna get into this. He trains me to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. He redirects my wants and aligns them with God's desires for me. So all of a sudden, my heart is getting realigned. This is the Ezekiel principle. He washes me clean, but then he strips me of my idolatry. The things that I give myself over to, the distractions in my life. Number three, through his power within me, I receive boldness to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what we were talking about, that we become his witnesses. When rivers of living water are coming out of me, everybody's got a little tie in them, right? Like this thing of going, yeah, so you hate me? Awesome, I love you. Meet him, I'm telling you, amen, tie? Amen, meet him. The rivers of living water are coming. You will not shake my boldness. You will not freak me out if you tell me you don't like me. Rivers of living water have flowed in me and they're coming out of me. Number four, he gives me the revelation of the word and an insatiable desire to study and meditate on scripture. Like, scripture doesn't just become like, oh, I gotta get into the word today. It's like, what are you gonna teach me today? What are you gonna show me today? And then that's that revelation where the Holy Spirit begins to open up the scriptures and you begin to see him rightly. Where the religious leaders, they would read through the scriptures and they miss Jesus. You're reading through the scriptures and you're seeing him all over the place. This is what the Holy Spirit does, just a reminder. Number five, he uses me to comfort others with the same comfort that I received. He comforts those in affliction, amen? And so if the Holy Spirit's role is to be a comforter, he's inside of me, I get to help be a comforter because that rivers of living water are coming out of me. Number six, when I see people who are down and out and struggling, when I see people who are sick, whatever it may be, when I see people who are just feeling like they're at the last throes of their life, he has given me the power and the authority to pray over them. This is why he says, is anyone sick among you? Call the leaders of the church together and pray over them and anoint them with oil. And the prayer of the righteous availeth much, amen? We gotta trust that. We got to believe that. Number seven, he brings his wisdom and encouragement to me when difficult situations come in to somebody's life, and all of a sudden, a word of encouragement or a word of wisdom can change the course of somebody's life, okay? So, real fast, what are we going to do? I'm going to invite our team up, first of all. Team, you guys can come on up. What are we going to do today? We've got really a rhythm of three things that we need to put into practice. Number one, surrender. Everybody say surrender. How this begins to take place is that I have to surrender. You see, all of us in here, we're really good at damming up our rivers. We're really good at damming up our rivers. And what I mean that we're really good at damming up our rivers is that the only way that the river gets to flow is if it flows freely. And the only way it flows freely is if I surrender. And so if you've struggled in this life and you're going, man, I feel like surrender is like the hardest thing in the world. The second thing is we've got to open our hands. Let's all open our hands this morning. So we're going to surrender. We're going to open our hands. And then we're going to say a word. It's a little three-letter word. It's an easy one. Everybody say yes. Yes. Let's say it one more time. Yes. Yes. We are always saying yes. I'm willing to be led and directed by wherever you want to take me. So I'm surrendering with open hands. I'm not trying to dam this thing up. And I'm saying yes to wherever it is that you want to lead me and wherever it is that you want to take me. And then the last thing is simply this. I am raising my white flag, and that white flag says, my life no longer belongs to me, it belongs to you. So this whole picture of surrender is open hands, yes, white flag. Now, we don't like that because nobody wants to raise the white flag. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? But when it comes to the things of the Lord, it's time that we raise our white flag and say, Holy Spirit, I need the fullness of you inside of me. And so I want to pray over you, and then we're going to sing a song together. And so, yeah. Would you guys just extend your hands out again? Father, this morning we give you yes. We give you our yes. Yes to lead us. Yes, to direct us, to activate our hearts in the power of the Holy Spirit. We come to you in a complete surrender. We come to you and we raise our white flags and we say, our life belongs to you and it no longer belongs to us. We're tired of damming up the rivers of living water that are flowing in and out of us. We're asking that you would break off the places, God, where we have felt uncomfortable. We're asking that you would break off the places where we've just been like, yeah, but I want to hold on to that part of my life. We're asking you to break off our divided hearts. Whatever it may be, Father, we're asking that you begin to do a heart work within us. And today, we're asking that the invitation of the Holy Spirit would come. So I'm just going to have you sit here while the team goes ahead and begins to just sing and lead over us just for a minute. And we're asking. Just sit here for a minute. We're just asking, Holy Spirit, in your own words, just, Holy Spirit, fill up my life. For those who felt stagnant, Holy Spirit, I invite living waters to come in and flush out all that stagnancy that's in me right now. For those who've been striving and trying in life, we're just asking, Holy Spirit, come in and break my striving nature. Isaiah 58:11, somebody needs to hear this today. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. God, we're asking that we would be like a watered garden this morning. That the dry and desolate land, God, would be like a well-watered garden. Yeah. Let's just stay here in this posture and then sing a song, Holy Spirit, over you and just begin to receive the love of God this morning.
Thank you so much for tuning in for today's word. We hope that it continues to encourage you and bless you as you go about your day today. And until then, we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week.